you're still today the head of your company, and you're still exploring and buying acquisitions, making acquisitions?
No.
No. Okay.
When I sold my company, Vintage, I stopped running any oil and gas operations at that point. I did back a company. I didn't operate it. We have, and it got sold to KKR. We have a company now that inspects pipelines, oil and gas pipelines, and actually water pipes for cities. It's kind of related to the oil business, but it's really pipeline inspection, pipeline. We build equipment to internally inspect pipelines. So that's kind of our business today.
And now you're president of Stevenson Investments.
I am.
All right. Philanthropy. As you look back on your life, the spirit of philanthropy, was there a time where we need to start returning to the community what we've earned, both you and Peggy? Did somebody influence you? How did you get into the philanthropy world to the degree that you are involved in, which I'll talk about?
Well, I think it started in a way kind of slowly. You know, back growing up, we always tithed to the church. You know, we always attended church as we got married and, you know, started working and doing all of that. The only time I really ever had any assets of any significance that I could start giving was after we took the company public in 1990. Then I had a lot of Vintage stock, and it had a value. So I was involved in some of the activities at the University of Oklahoma. I was on several boards. You know, they were raising money. So I started giving some stock periodically to different requests that came along. President Bourne showed up, and he was pretty...
Very persuasive.
Persuasive,
sure.
That's the word.
Right.
Well, and not only persuasive, but he came around a lot. And then there was the opportunity to give to the church in a more significant way. And it just sort of grew. It didn't happen one day that I said I was going to give half of everything to the a foundation to give away. We did start the foundation. I think we started it in 87, which was really pretty early. Mm-hmm. And we didn't have much to give away at that point in time. But anyhow, that's kind of how it started, and it's just kind of grown.
Well, you and Peggy established the Charles and Peggy Stevenson Chair in Petroleum Engineering at the University of Oklahoma in 1994.
That was the second thing we did.
Okay.
With the university.
And the first one was?
There's a building over there that was going to house the Sarkis Energy Center. We contributed to that to get it started. And then we gave a chair in petroleum engineering.
Yes, that Sarkis Energy Center housed many of OU's energy and geophysical research units.
Yeah. Right now it houses the Mewburn School of Earth and Energy.
And then you funded the construction of two campus research facilities, the Stevenson Research and Technology Center and the Stevenson Life Sciences Research Center. When they came asking for money, I mean, you had to decide, really, am I really that interested in your project? So the Research and Technology Center obviously caught your attention.
The Engineering College started a pretty major fundraising campaign about the time we did the first technology center. They were raising money for several different projects. One of the projects I'd heard the dean talk about was the research campus on the south side of the university that used to be where the naval base was. Sure. The university took over all that land. I decided that was a project I wanted to help fund. Now, I had no idea at the time, you know, how big it could be. But that got my attention, and I told the dean that I'd like to help work on that. The first thing that we decided to do was to do the technology center where most of the most promising projects that were being developed in the various different colleges could be brought to one place where you could have a multidisciplinary group work together to bring that to fruition, to either create a company or to create products that could be marketable and, you know, bring revenue to the university. So we started the research campus out there, and that was the first building, and we decided to put this university supercomputer there to do all the projects for that. Then I think the next project that came about was the opportunity to move the weather center to the research campus out there. And then President Bourne approached me about doing a project for the diabetes deal at the Oklahoma City. And I told him I really didn't want to do that. I'd rather keep focused on the research campus. So they came up with this other project. So I thought it tied in with what I wanted to fund. So I agreed to do that.
Well, the University of Oklahoma Health Sciences Center in Oklahoma City has benefited from your philanthropy, a gift to support its nationally known Dean McGee Eye Institute.
That happened early on. I've had eye problems from a very early age. When I started the company here, I'd heard about Dean McGee and the doing radiokeratomy and all that kind of stuff. So I had one eye that was really bad, and I did that, and it actually worked. And then I had other problems with my eye that they solved over there. And then I've had cataract surgery done and over there. So they wanted to do a laser center, and I agreed to help fund that. And that's how that started.
Okay, then I have to ask you, your eye issue, was that, where was that in your life? Early, when you were young?
Yeah, very early. It started second grade, probably. By the third grade, they knew I had a problem, because I couldn't see the blackboard, so I wore glasses. And it got worse as time went on, until it finally kind of stabilized.
When you were in college, in the University of Oklahoma, was it a problem to you then? Was it getting worse or stable by that time?
It was probably kind of stable then. I was trying to use a contact lens. That was really hard to do back then, so I was still generally wearing glasses.
And that got you by. I mean,
you're with glasses, I could see. Without glasses, I couldn't hardly see.
Yeah. A newly built cancer center was named the Peggy and Charles Stevenson Oklahoma Cancer Center. How did you come to contributing to that?
By that time, we decided we weren't going to. We were through at OU. Peggy and I thought we had probably done enough, but David and Molly wanted us to come over and see a project that they were working on, and we were going to Oklahoma City anyhow, so we agreed to do that. And we didn't know what it was, so when we got there, they had started building the cancer center that's over there, and it was being funded by partially by the state at that time, and they needed to raise quite a bit more money to finish it. And so when we got there, they started walking us through the building, and they told us what it was going to be. I don't know whether they knew that Peggy had breast cancer early on. Got Peggy's attention.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. She survived that, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Peggy said we had to do that.
Yes, she did. I don't know why that's funny, but it is.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you're glad you did it.
Well, we are. And, we've given quite a bit more to the cancer center, and we'll do quite a bit more. It's a big deal. And it now has been there 10 years. 5 years ago, we got our designation as a National Cancer Institute qualifications. We do all the trials that the National Cancer Center sponsors, from phase four to phase one. You can do everything there that you can do at Mayo and
MD Anderson.
MD Anderson. In fact, we do more trials in Oklahoma City than MD Anderson does, Mayo does, any of the rest of them. We're number one in the nation doing trials. And we're fixing to move a satellite facility over here to Tulsa to do the same thing here.
Wow. Right now, people think, I've got to go to MD Anderson from Oklahoma, here from Tulsa. I know people today are doing that.
Right.
Are they unaware?
We don't do a very good job at advertising. We're really out of space. And there's a population group in northeast Oklahoma that's really at risk for cancer, and they're the Indian population. They are twice as at risk as the white population. They are the least treated in the state of Oklahoma. We have hardly any patients from northeast Oklahoma that get treated at the cancer center. So we need to bring it over here, and we are. Negotiations are underway to figure out a hospital to work with. We don't want to build a hospital here like we have in Oklahoma City. But most everything can be done here. There'll be a few things you have to go to Oklahoma City if you've got a particular problem.
Well, that would serve a vast population over here then if that
will
happened.
And it's just not northeast Oklahoma. It has overlaps into Arkansas and Kansas and, you know, the whole area.
All this philanthropy, and now we've just talked about cancer, how good it's got to make you feel that you were able to contribute to this and in many areas of life?
I just feel fortunate.
Yeah. You're emotional, and I'm getting eye water myself watching you, to know that that's how sensitive you and Peggy are to the community needs. And, you know, I don't think everybody who accumulates a lot of wealth is as active in philanthropy. Not everybody does that.
Well, they don't know what they're missing.
And the reward, their feeling, it's your feeling.
Yeah. You know, we know that we can help people, and we want to do it in a significant way. And we've been blessed, we're fortunate that we have the financial assets to do that. You know, the family only needs so much. What the hell are you going to do with the rest of it?
Right. Are you on, like others in the nation, they talk about giving half away of your wealth or in that world or not, some like, or they're trying to give it all away or whatever?
Well, I started thinking about that because some made me do it before this became a, you know, something people think about. And I was going to give away at least half of it. But that's changed now, and I think the family's got what it needs. I think everything else will go to the foundation.
You should be proud of so many things. What do you think you're the most proud of as you look back on your life?
Well, the most proud of is my family. The rest of it's just noise.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's good noise.
There's all kinds.
Right. I'd like to ask about advice to the young people who are either in college, maybe they want to go into your field at all. What kind of advice would you give them?
They need to approach their education as a job. It's really not just an opportunity. One of the most important things in their life, because it's going to dictate whatever else they're going to do in life. Approaching education like a job, working hard at it, and then finding what you can enjoy doing, what vocation you pick. You need to think about whether you're going to enjoy that or not, because if you really enjoy what you're doing, you'll be successful, and it won't be a real chore. Like I said, I'm don't think I ever worked a day in my life.
Yeah.
And that allows you to get through the ups and downs and to be successful. So I guess that's my advice.
Yeah. How would you like to be remembered?
I really hadn't thought of that.
And most people haven't when I ask that question.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'd have to give that some thought.
Well, people will view you as a very successful businessman, and you end up being known for your philanthropy, a very giving philanthropist. And so if I'm speaking for them, that's the way you'll be remembered.
Well, that's fine. You know, I love my family, so I like to be remembered as a good family man, generous, and a Christian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, your faith's very important to you and Peggy.
Has been.
Okay. Well, Charlie, when I talked to you and I said, this could take a couple of hours, you said, I don't know if I can talk that long. Well, we've talked just about 2 hours, right?
Ever.
Yeah, right.
Good.
And so I want to thank you for your story. It will be heard. Students are listening to these Voices of Oklahoma oral history stories, and you never know when somebody says, ooh, that inspired me to do great things.
So, well, I hope it does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It will.
And thank you for taking the time to do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, what you're doing is really important. Just keep it up.
Yeah. Oh.
Like you said, you're going to work, and that's important.
I do. And it's...
I'm going to work till I die.
I got to have something to do, and so do you.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Charlie.
You're welcome.